Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another PT Pearl. Thanks for joining us again. Today, we're going into tension headaches. This is like the most popular headache that most people deal with. And so we want to go into why it's so common, what it usually is about, and what you can even start to do about it today so that you can start to relieve some of that tension and stress from that head.
And it's interesting because like so many people deal with headaches of some kind, right? And tension headaches specifically, even there's a study we looked at that's like up to 78 or 80% of people will deal with tension headaches specifically at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. And that can be up to 10% of people who might experience that weekly and 2 to 3% who will experience it chronically, which is like more than one time a week. So that's quite a bit and it's quite a significant percentage of the population.
Exactly. That's a lot of people. And I know growing up, it was like a common thing that my mom would say all the time, like, oh, she's got a migraine and something is happening. And,
yeah,
you know, and one of the studies I looked at did say that women specifically when they're getting into like middle age experience it a little bit more, especially migraine headaches at a higher rate than men.
Well, and tension headaches. I had seen that women might experience it a little more frequently just in general. But, and I think when we talk about migraines, a lot of people will like misattribute really bad headaches to just migraine all the time. Yeah. I know growing up, I always like learned like migraine was just like the worst degree of the headache. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a migraine. That must be the worst one. But tension headaches can be really severe. They can cause sensitivity to light. They can cause sensitivity to sound. They usually don't include nausea or vomiting as much as some other types of headaches. And it'll generally be right in that front portion of the forehead, kind of behind, almost like behind the eyes, but both sides. It's not usually specific to one side or another, and just right behind in the back of the head, kind of top of the neck, bottom part of the skull.
Yeah, exactly. And so if this is something that you deal with or that you know that you have a family member or friend that deals with a lot, I would just recommend passing this podcast along to them because we are going to go into some specifics that you can start doing besides just taking the drugs, which we know help. They help to ease symptoms, but what else can we be doing?
Totally. And that's, I think, a lot of the places people will initially go. It's like, oh, an over-the-counter medication. Now, yeah. I got a headache. Let's go take some NSAIDs or your ibuprofen, Advil, Tylenol, whatever it is. And that can be something that initially gives us like some symptom relief. Yeah. Which is kind of that feedback that says, oh, I have the headache, I take the drug, headache goes away.
Yep.
And that reinforces that pattern for us. Again, you know, it's not our job to comment or consult on like if you should take over-the-counter medications at all, but that is listed as one of the most common uses to kind of fix the symptoms of tension headaches.
Exactly. And I know for myself too, I would have clients that would come in and they would regularly, like on top of physical therapy, I had clients who would get injections, epidurals a lot, dealing with these headaches. And, you know, even when I was in the clinic and I was treating clients that would, yes, come in to see me as a physical therapist, but on top of that, they were told that they needed injections or epidurals on a regular basis as well. So on top of treatment, they're being told to rely on other measures as well to help relieve the symptoms and the pain that they're having from these tension headaches.
Absolutely. And again, it's just like the belief that we kind of hammer ourselves into that, like, what is actually relieving these symptoms? What is actually causing these symptoms?
Yeah.
Tension headaches have also held a lot of different names. You know, they have called it psychogenic headaches or stress headaches or muscle tension headaches because there's this little bit of this understanding that it just comes from stress and where and how we store stress. And you and I are going to talk a little bit into like when we're stressed, we're usually breathing a certain way or a different way if we're driving our breath from a stress sympathetic place and how that can add into this tension up around the neck.
Exactly. And you guys are going to hear us talk about this over and over and over again. And we mention it because when we're talking root cause of something, a lot of things can come back to stress, inflammation, how we're holding it and how we're dealing with it. And it is just something you cannot take out of the equation. And we have to start looking at what else can we do? What do we need to do in order to help reduce this stress? And so one of the things that I like to recommend people, especially in the beginning when you are noticing, or just right now, when you're starting to notice headaches, start to journal. What is the day experience? What have I been doing? How much sleep did I get? How much water did I get? What kind of food was I eating? What kind of activities was I doing? What kind of people was I around? And just not to create, you know, just to observe, just to start to bring this into your awareness, right? The first step is we're always just trying to increase our awareness in general so that we can start to observe what are some of the patterns that are happening that might be related to when I'm getting these headaches.
Especially if stress is a component, if, you know, anything psychogenic, like if there is a neurologic component to anything like this, same way with memory. I mean, that was where I really picked up journaling, because I found it just helped me be more aware of those processes that I may have been struggling with. If we're having tension headaches, it has been shown that, and there's a lot of agreeance, that just stress in our bodies may drive and cause us to have more prevalent tension headaches.
Exactly.
So how can we journal to tease out those things that may result in the way we feel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just starting to become aware and acknowledge it. Like, we don't realize that stress isn't just this like annoyance of someone yelling at you, or all of a sudden the house is breaking down, or, you know, sometimes we only categorize stress to be these incidences that are this really catastrophic thing, where stress can be presented in less sleep. Stress can be presented in the type of foods that we eat. And it's the way that your body is reacting and handling it, and your body starts to learn these patterns. And so it's really, that's why we have to go to the basis of our entire environment to see what kind of stressors we could be adding that could have an effect.
And stress doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Right.
We can work in a very high-paced environment and have a lot of successes and have a lot of perceived good things. Mm-hmm. But if we're still not allowing our body to slow down, and we're always in this go, go, go pace, and we're always breathing from a certain area, we're not setting up the environment to systemically benefit ourselves. Because no matter what's going on specifically in that specific area, Jen and I like to promote those systemic things we can do to give ourselves the best environment to then maybe address those specific pains and aches we're feeling.
So when we're talking into, we are going to talk into positional things a little bit, and why you might have this increased stress, and why some of the things that we've actually seen to help even more sometimes than over-the-counter drugs, why do they help? So one of the studies that I looked at, it showed that manual therapy techniques, so going and seeing a physical therapist, massage therapist, or chiropractor who is doing what we call suboccipital release. So this is, you're laying on your back, they're taking their hands and kind of cupping underneath the base of the skull, and then they apply a little bit of traction and pressure upward. And what this is doing is it's really kind of releasing that pressure right at what we know to be called the suboccipital muscles, which are, again, right at the base of the skull, kind of into the neck. And what you'll feel sometimes is that referred pain to the areas where you're feeling that tension headache. You might increase it for a little bit, like, oh, wow, that's really touching on the symptoms. And then if we hold enough pressure in those areas, we can start to down-regulate the system and teach the body that that doesn't have to be as hot and heavy. And it kind of releases the tension in those muscles, which in turn can release the tension happening in those in the headache. And what they found is that if you're doing that 4 times a week, so it's about a 20-minute session, 4 times a week for 4 weeks, it was shown to have as much, if not a greater effect as over-the-counter drugs.
And placebo, because they tested against a placebo too, which is basically doing nothing. And so why does that help, right? And when we talk about these suboccipital muscles, basically what they do when they're all contracting or active at the same time is kind of extend our skull on our neck or on our head. Another muscle that kind of does that is these big ropey ones in the front, these big SCMs where you can kind of turn your head and you just feel that big rope. That extends our skull on our neck, and also our SCMs kind of just flex our neck forward. So it's that beautiful computer head posture where we're just sitting forward. And so we say, okay, if we gain some like more awareness at length of those muscles in the back, and we realize and learn how it's connected to that tension we feel in the front, we're like, okay, so if we address those two, then it might improve. But why are those feeling more of that tension and pressure anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we start to play the but why game. But why are they more tense? And we come down the chain into all of those other neck muscles, which are attached where? To the top of the rib cage, clavicle, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is where we go into, let's go into positional postural talk just a little bit, but it's not because we're talking about structure and alignment of posture. That's going to be an end result of what we talk about with pressure. Mm-hmm. So this is where, oh, what do you know? We're going to go back to the breath, the baseline
Figures.
Of everything. I know, they're talking about the breath again. But let's just look at it of how this relates to the body and structure. So what Dom was talking about was forward head posture, right? A lot of us have heard of forward head posture. Well, when you have forward head, the body isn't going to allow you to just dump forward now that your head is coming forward. Your body's going to compensate. And so what happens if my head is going forward, then I need something to kind of react against that, right? So my whole body doesn't tip forward. So as the head comes forward, my rib cage at the base of my rib cage is going to start to come forward. And what this causes is a posterior shift. So that's like a backward pressure of that rib cage kind of dumping out and forward. So the bottom of the rib cage kind of gets into the flaring, and we can kind of feel that rib cage in the front a lot more. And then what happens is the shoulders come back. The upper back of the chest comes back. So then the shoulders are round forward with the head and the jaw that kind of juts forward. And if we went even lower than that, then if I have a posteriorly tilted rib cage, what I end up having is an anteriorly tilted pelvis. So this isn't always, this is just what could be, right? Your body is really good at saying, oh, if this is going forward, I don't want to fall. So I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do this. And It's really good at just compensating throughout the body. And so this is why we can't just be like, oh, I need to smash into hip flexors because I have anterior pelvic tilt, or I need to just release the suboccipitals because I'm getting forward head posture, right?
Yeah.
So that's where we look at this structure and we say posturally, it doesn't work. But beyond that, pressure system, it doesn't work. And this is where we'll talk into the three different diaphragms essentially that happen within the body. So do you want to go into those?
Totally. And I love how you say, you know, like talking about the head, generally that's sitting in the place it is because that's where our body has found its equilibrium. We're like really good at standing upright as humans. Like that's what we were built and evolved to do, was stand upright. So when we throw our head forward, or if we throw our pelvis forward or our feet in a certain position, then those segments are going to kind of stack in a certain way to help us keep upright and balanced. And so that's when we talk about the neck. We can't just jam ourselves into a chin retraction and hold there and that hope that that works out with the whole system, because likely that's going to throw us out of balance from the rib cage with our respiratory diaphragm to our pelvis with our pelvic diaphragm. When we return into breath and focus on bringing that breath into that low rib cage, activating through our diaphragm, our pelvic diaphragm, our whole abdominal canister, and that transverse abdominis, that in itself, within our inspiration and expiration, is going to just help naturally stack our rib cage on our pelvis in a more comfortable position for us. So we don't feel like we're forcing, you know, butt tight, ribs down, chest out, shoulders back, like that whole thing for our posture. But through our respiration, our two diaphragms, pelvic and respiratory, start to stack on each other. And then we'll notice our neck just naturally wants to sit a little bit taller, a little bit more on top of those, generally just stacking itself over our base of support and our center of mass.
Exactly. And then that's where we get into the third diaphragm, which is where the air is entering. So our air enters, you know, our nasal system or our mouth, and it goes into the glottis. And so that's going to open and close based on the air that's coming in. So that's kind of like our first diaphragm, if we want to think of it like that. And so where is that? Is that stacked forward, right? And then my rib cage is then flared up. So my respiratory diaphragm is going to be a little off. And then my pelvic floor diaphragm might be back, right? And so then all of a sudden, where my pressure is getting distributed is going to be different. So rather than having these three diaphragms stacked on top of each other in kind of more of a parallel way, they start to kind of move forward or back. And so where the pressure has to go is going to go like in and out through the stomach or the back or up through the chest. So if I have more of a flared rib cage and my head is going forward, it's harder to create the breath to the sides of the rib cage. And what ends up happening usually, again, we're talking in generals here.
Totally.
But usually what ends up happening is that rib cage is then going to go up as we breathe. Even if we're trying to relax, even if we're trying to get the muscles to like jam out and smash into them. Right. So what we get to do is then say, okay, how can I play with this lower rib cage and start to bring more awareness there? And like Dom said, if you start to open up that rib cage and get that diaphragm to move differently, we're going to naturally start to pull that pelvis into a place of like, oh, this is where I get to live now. And then the upper body, the neck is going to automatically, if I change my rib cage, my neck is going to automatically start to come in a different place. It's going to just start to balance and compensate in a more efficient pattern, in a more efficient way.
Yeah. And kind of like Jen said right there, like we're talking in generalities, and this is like one example of a compensation that can happen for somebody with forward head posture. Having that open rib cage or the anterior flare of the rib cage isn't what would happen for everybody.
Right.
Just one example.
Yeah.
That happens to be kind of the example I follow in my patterning. So once we come around to that breath and feel comfortable kind of activating and coordinating that support with that core breath, that's when we can explore a little bit more of what we're doing with our shoulders and our neck on top of it. And that's where if you go into a traditional therapist, they may like give you some of these neck retraction exercises or neck retraction and hold exercises. What those are good for when we come back around to why we were getting that suboccipital release. These neck retraction exercises basically work the muscles that are being overpowered by our suboccipitals, by our SCMs, our sternocleidal mastoids. We're training now these just deep, deep supportive neck flexors in our cervical spine that are going to help balance those out. And when we allow those to take more of the pressure, we may alleviate all of the work and tension and stress that those suboccipitals and our forehead is taking.
Exactly. And that's why, like, yes, we get to do that, but we can't forget about the rib cage. We can't forget about the breath. We have to add the breath, the rib cage work. We've shown all this in the breath podcast, so we'll link to that as well. But we've shown that in the breath podcast. And then once we get the rib cage moving better, then we can start to rotate through that thoracic spine. So we work on thoracic mobility. We work on pec relaxation. So those pecs aren't so dominant. And we, I mean, this is everything we do in terms of improving mobility, getting various activations around the shoulder blade to start to become more aware. So that when we go into areas of like, listen, stress might happen, your body might remember it, and tension headaches might happen. So when you go to the symptom relief, which is the suboccipital, not a bad thing to do, right? We want to be able to, can I use this suboccipital release rather than an over-the-counter drug? For your gut health, I would say you probably want to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, again, symptom management is a huge portion of it, but we don't want people to just chronically feel like they need to be getting in their own suboccipital release or using something like the Intellirol to get the suboccipital release. Because as you see, it's got that amazing groove to just rest your head on and then lay and breathe. And that's why the first component, even to stretching, like when we talk about, okay, now you can do some pec stretches. Now you can use the Intellirol to work into the pec, because once you've established that foundation of breath and how to eliminate the stress with the breath, then we're not going to let these techniques with the roller or with the stretches add more tension in, because we're pushing from the wrong place.
Right. So we use that just like in conjunction with. So yes, if you need to release those initial symptoms, but you know the baseline of where you get to continue to go back to. Have I been neglecting my breath work, my rib cage work, my thoracic mobility, my overall strength? Guys, it's not just strength of this inside of the neck, right? Like, this is a component, but we need overall body strength. Like, don't just think it's mobility and yoga. You have to increase and improve the strength overall. And the one thing that I wanted to say about the entire role, because yes, obviously we have this groove that is great because the cervical spine, so right in the spine, can kind of rest where you don't get the pressure on the vertebrae or the bones, but also this area. So if you're on the podcast listening, you can't see what I'm doing, but the IntelliRoll, you can check it out. We'll link it up. It has a space for your spine. It also has a space on the side that is kind of like this, this groove. And I actually like to put my head here. And then if I scoop my booty away when I'm laying on the ground, it causes this traction and this pull from the suboccipital. And it honestly feels amazing. So yes, if you need that symptom relief, we're not against it. We're just also for getting back to the root cause of it all.
All about getting myself out of pain. And then it's like, okay, how can I keep myself out of pain or prevent it from coming back as quickly? Or, you know, it's that self day-to-day management that we believe people get to start stepping into themselves so we don't feel so reliant on things outside of us.
Now, if you really were interested in the IntelliRoll, because honestly, it's hard to understand it until you're on it. Like every single client I get on this, they're like, where can I get it?
Totally.
Like truly, it really feels amazing. I've talked about this for 4 years, even over the vibrating stuff, because of just the shape of it that it provides your body. It molds to your body. It helps for the symptom tension reliefs the way that we're talking about. And so if you want to check out the IntelliRoll, we'll link it in at the bottom of in the show notes and the YouTube video, all the things. And you can use code DOCGEN, so DOCJEN, for a 10% discount as well. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at DocGenFit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.